This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Bring it later for her.
Good morning. Welcome to the Spring 2016 Provider Training for the Quality Assurance and Compliance Monitoring Visit. To minimize the background noise during the webinar, please keep your phone on mute to listen to the webinar. This eliminates background noise and discussions from disrupting the webinar. If your phone does not have a mute button, press star 6, mute, and press star 6 to unmute. The objectives of this particular conference call is to provide our participants with information regarding grant program monitoring schedule for fiscal year 2015 to 2016. In regards to fiscal years and programs being monitored, we will monitor years 2013-14, 2014-15, as well as 2015-16. And we will also look at the grant programs such as well as your quality purchase. Topics that will be covered on this call range from why do we monitor and what is our way of work, enhancements to the current risk assessment, how do we select our agencies to monitor, items they have available for the visit, team introductions, as well as the general question and answer round. Wally Insurance and Compliance Team, I'm before you. We have Dr. Sharoz Masoudi, Mrs. Donna Waller, Ms. Joycelyn Brinson, and Mr. Michael Swift. So you may ask, why do we monitor? Not because you're in this list. You will see that is a requirement at both the state and federal levels. That being said, if it were not a requirement, it will still be the right thing to do. Monitoring provides for strong accountability that services are being provided appropriately and according to the terms of the grant, and also that the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the actual grant. It provides you with an opportunity to correct things as you go, to improve not only your compliance record, but to bring about greater positive changes to the program as well. And as a little known fact, it also provides us with an opportunity to recognize your good practices and also share these successes with others so that they may too benefit. So there are a lot of good reasons for our monitoring program. What is our way of work? As you see, it pertains to a risk analysis and involves collaboration. We like to use a collaborative approach when conducting our monitoring. As for selecting agencies to monitor, we use a project approach that I will describe more in just a moment. The Quality Assurance Vision. The development, design, and implementation of a strong risk-based quality assurance system is a major priority for the Division of Career and Adult Education. Our commitment is to ensure that services are being provided according to the terms of the grant, and the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. The purpose of the Quality Assurance and Compliance Monitoring System is to, one, assure financial accountability, program quality, and regulatory compliance. Risk assessment factors for the 2015-16 year involves the operational risk factors ranging from the number of grants, the total amount of agency funding, the number of grant funds remaining, a program improvement plan, better known as the PIP, which was a new element that was added to our 2014-15 risk matrix system, as well as the Auditor General's findings and the change in director. Talking a little more about the enhancements to the system, as stated, it involves the Perkins Program Improvement Plan, or the PIP Index. The risk score was divided into quartiles, and it also had a balanced weight between data elements. The 2015-16 Quality Assurance Risk Assessment Process was enhanced to include the Perkins Program Improvement Plan Index, as mentioned prior. Using the summarized source data information from the operational risk factors, or metrics, as shown in the previous slide, the risk score is then divided into quartiles and is assigned a point value of 0, 1, 3, 5, or 7, as shown in the chart below. The assigned point value is then multiplied by a balance weight between data elements that is used to calculate the agency risk score, which aids in our development of the actual risk score. Just a little more information in regards to the enhancements to this system. The operational risk factors or metrics equal the total budget and unexpended dollars, the number of grants, as well as the Auditor General's finding information. The lower quartile, denoted by 1 or the 25th percentile, the lower middle quartile, denoted by 3 or the 50th percentile, the upper middle quartile, denoted by 5 or the 75th percentile, and the upper quartile, denoted by 7 or the maximum value. All of these elements are used to determine and come up with our risk assessment. The calculation of the risk assessment score is calculated by multiplying the point value assigned by the weight that will generate the actual total metric point. And we're now on slide 15. Before you is an actual table or a sample of an actual risk assessment score for an agency. And here it contains all of the elements that will be used to generate the actual score. A target provider for monitoring will receive a copy of this risk matrix for their agency in the actual final report. The risk assessment process. All the 13-14 data which we use for the risk assessments for the monitoring business this past fall, they'll be used for the spring as well. And the overall monitoring we will be doing covers additional years of 14-15 as well as the 15-16 year. Occasionally, we do monitor additional programs in the geographical areas we're visiting to conserve travel funds, budget for the fall or the spring, we chose to include this as well. Important: a high-risk assessment score should never be interpreted as a negative reflection on the provider. For example, the allocation of $1 million carries significant more risk than $1,000. A seasoned director presents less risk than one who is new to the responsibilities of the position. Or, the higher the number of grants the provider administers, the higher the risk. So it should never mean or should never think that it's a negative thing or basically to be monitored. It's not a bad thing at all. Provider selections for 2015-16. Providers with the highest risk matrix score may be targeted for on-site or desk monitoring. If the target provider was an agency with CTE or Career and Technical Education Services, we also monitor adult education services and vice versa. This will enable us to reach a greater number of grants and providers and be more efficient with travel and time. If a provider has a high risk score and was targeted for monitoring in the 14-15 year, but was monitored in the last 2 years, the provider will receive a follow-up visit that will focus on the items in the resolution plan. So if you're asking in regards to the desk monitoring, this particular factor was used to determine that. If you showed up in the risk table, the risk assessment the prior year, you were basically put in the pot for a potential visit for the spring for the desk monitoring. Or if you had a resolution plan that required follow-up, the same applied. Various monitoring strategies are implemented based on the level of risk assigned as a result of the risk assessment process. Spring 2016 targeted providers for desktop or on-site monitoring are provided for you. 8 providers have been targeted and notified for spring 2016 monitoring, whether it be on-site or desk. The monitoring process. The monitoring process entails various components. It has a pre-visit, on-site and post-visit activities, records and data reviews, all phases, interviews, resolution plans for findings, action plans for concerns. These are all factors or elements included in the monitoring process. Pre-visit activities. Pre-visit activities range from formal notification, personal correspondence, either your college president or your district superintendent, webinar trainings for the providers, team leader coordination. Actually, after this call takes place on today, you will have the opportunity to speak with your assigned team lead to coordinate all of the logistics for the visit. And during this time, you will also confirm all of the agency contact information, coordination, and communication with the actual team leader to determine the logistics of the visit, including developing a visit schedule and just working out of the day-to-day activities that will take place during the course of the visit or desktop monitoring. As far as information that is required, you all received a memorandum that provided a list of items that we'll ask that you provide to us prior to the visit or desktop monitoring tool taking place. And just a few of those things include an organizational chart, a list of your administrative staff with their specific duties relevant to the grant, a map of the district or county indicating locations and program sites, and what's really important is a list of all of your adult ed and program and sites. And in this, we ask that you provide the name, the address, and zip code. The zip code is very important. Oftentimes on visits, we've encountered places that didn't have a zip code, and as a result, it would take us to multiple locations. So it's very important that you provide your zip code. We also ask that you provide a principal, dean, or director's name, along with their email and phone number, including hours of operation of the actual programs. We're going to now move on to actual on-site activities. The first day of the visit, you will have the entrance conference, and during that time, we generally allocate no more than an hour for you to share with us or provide information about your respective programs, and it also gives us an opportunity to share with you in depth a little more, just kind of tell you a little bit more about the process, the monitoring process, and what you can expect along the way. During this time, you may choose to do a presentation via PowerPoint, or if not a PowerPoint, you may just choose to share information about your programs. And we'll also, discuss monitoring components. During the course of the visit, we will conduct a host of interviews with administrators, your teachers, instructors, students, staff, and faculty. We really enjoy conducting interviews because we get an opportunity to really find out what's going on in your programs. And of course, all of these things will be reflected in the actual report that you receive following the visit. We will conduct a host of observations. We do like to get out and see what's going on in the classrooms. It gives us an opportunity to really see. You know, after you know, it's easy to read in grants and you think you have an idea of what's going on, but oftentimes it's not until you actually get out and really see what's going on and you get a full grasp of the program. But we really look forward to doing that. Records review, we look at records ranging from the 2013-14 year through the current. And these records reviews include student records, financial records, personnel records, as well as your data records. We will do an in-depth review of all of these items, of course. If we have any questions, we'll definitely be in contact with you along the way. Talking a little more about our on-site activities, we have equipment inventory. This is a major component of the monitoring process. It is important that we look at the items that have been purchased with the grant dollars, and they must contain all the elements, or at least your equipment inventory must contain all of the elements as required according to EDGAR specifications, as well as the Uniform Grant Guidance. And if you are required to conduct or complete a person's program improvement plan, we would definitely sit with you and discuss that as well. And this will then be followed up with an excellent conference. And during the excellent conference, this is the time that we provide or share with you all of the information or observations or findings, concerns, anything that we may have encountered along the way. And it's a time for us basically to discuss it if you have any questions. As far as items to have available on the first day, we do ask that you grant us access to your records for the fiscal year 2013-14, fiscal year 14-15, as well as fiscal year 14-15 and 15-16. We also like to look at or have you have available for us the policy and handbooks for the employees. We do ask that you not make copies. Oftentimes we visit places and we have tons of boxes, and we just can't get to all of that stuff, so we ask that you just minimize sources and definitely save trees and save paper by not making additional copies or making copies unless needed. We'll also look at your handbooks and materials for students, including your student enrollment packets, attendance policies, along with marketing and recruitment effort materials, general policies and procedures ranging from your financial policies and things of that nature, as well as your governing board and advisory committee documents. These are all important documents that we like to take a look at during the course of the visit. Now let's look at the first day and what to have available. First day continued. As stated, we'll look at marketing, recruitment materials, and activities for the agency's programs. We'll also look more in depth at the financial policies and procedures, including those related to purchasing and procurement of contractual services, as well as equipment and supplies. We'll also look at your travel and purchasing records, data procedures, inventory of equipment. As mentioned again, we'd like to look at this inventory of equipment purchased with the grant funds by site. And if you could have available maps to each adult ed and CT class or location, sometimes when you arrive on the site, it's best that you just have a map for us to kind of go around. Although we've had the opportunity to have some individuals kind of walk us around and kind of navigate the process for us, but we find it very helpful if you just have maps available just as a backup so that we could find the classes with much ease. In regards to alerting staff for our visit, we ask that you let your financial director, your MIS director, or your institutional research director, or other appropriate administrators or principals know that we are there. We don't want to alarm anyone, so we ask that you let them know that we will be visiting. And one last thing in regards to the first day. We know that you all like to extend, you know, warm hospitality to the group, but we must pay for food and drink. We do like when you all provide, you know, different muffins and things, but we have to leave something for you due to ethics laws, and it's important that we follow these. So we ask that you not take it personal. We're just following the law, so we will have to leave something for you. And we also ask that you reach out to other providers that may have received an on-site monitoring visit from us to kind of get an idea of what to expect during the course of the visit. We found that it's been most helpful if you do that. In regards to post-visit activities, we've completed the first week of monitoring, and we're returning back to the office to Tallahassee, so that you may ask what the next step is. The next step for us would be to provide you with a thank you letter and an evaluation survey. From then, you will receive a monitoring report. You will receive a draft, which is sent to the director or the agency designee for feedback, and we ask that you provide that information in a different color so that we can take it into consideration and maybe suggest putting it into the report to amend it if needed. And if after the draft report has been issued, usually within 20 days, we will issue a final report that will be issued to your agency head. If you had any resolution activities, in other words, a corrective action plan for findings or an action plan for concerns, you would be required to complete a resolution plan. And of course, from there, we would do a monthly follow-up. In other words, your team lead will follow up with you on a monthly basis to see the progress that is being made. And in this resolution plan, it would require you to provide a signature. You will have to sign this and include this with your report. And of course, follow-up communication would continue until the all obligations have been met for that particular resolution plan. And once all resolution plan activities have been set and followed through, in other words, completed, a closure letter will be issued to the agency. And if you all have not had the opportunity to visit the division's compliance website, please feel free to visit that you can read our reports of different agencies that we've visited over the years. Areas of focus range from administration data, learning environments, student perspectives. When I mentioned that we actually visit the classrooms and conduct interviews, we often sit down and have interviews with the students. It gives us an opportunity to really hear and see how they feel about their respective programs. And this is a major component of the report, actually one of the areas that will be contained in the report as well. Another area of focus would be the financials. Record review, in other words, a list of records that we reviewed in the course of the visit, technology and equipment, basic reporting from your inventory, if there were any issues with locating equipment, not following the EDGAR standards or the uniform grant guidance. Of course, this section here, we will use this to supply that information, as well as collaboration. We like to know that you're working with partners and different things are being done to help facilitate the programs. And that's to name a few. Common findings. We're now on slide 29. Common findings. I have before you just a few examples involve the lack of advisory committees, absence of statements, lack of information and involvement from your advisory committees. Safety and security findings. It's important that
teacher policy. Florida was ranked number one in the nation by the National Council on Teacher
Please
Quality in
phone.
2012. And now we...
Thank you. And a few other common findings involve safety and security findings. Exposed wires, extension cords, safety rules not being properly posted, lack of ramps for wheelchair accessibility, just to name a few. Property and inventory findings, incomplete or lack of inventory for equipment, inventory equipment not being properly tagged, lack of procedures for properly disposing of certain inventory items, procurement findings, just a few, lack of policies and procedures for contracting and or purchasing goods and services, timesheets not being signed by the employer supervisor, just to name a few. Data reporting findings, as well as student record findings. Student records not being accessible to the compliance team. It's important that all records are accessible to the team. Moving to slide 32, before you, just a few common concerns. Last minute attending, you must remember that students must benefit at all times. You don't want to wait till the end of the year to start spending funds. You want to always take into the consideration your students' benefit. Lack of staff development plans, outdated textbooks, lack of advisory committee, outdated policies and procedures, websites out of date. And as far as monitoring reports, as stated earlier, we would advise you to visit our compliance website so that you can get an idea of different visits that the team has participated on, just to get you a full, give you a good idea of what to expect during the course of the visit. As stated earlier, the compliance team, following this webinar, you'll be hearing from them, if not today, definitely tomorrow, but definitely soon, in regards to developing the logistics for the actual visit. provided for you are a few tools and resources. Please feel free to make note or visit these websites for your working knowledge. We have the Carl E. Perkins Career Technical Education Improvement Act of 2006, as well as the Adult Ed and Family Literacy Act of 1998. And of course, you know the WIOA is present. We ask that you visit the website to review that. EDGAR information is provided for you. And definitely visit the quality assurance policies and procedures and protocols. It's a helpful tool that we use here within our compliance, quality assurance and compliance section. It's an internal document that we use when visiting you. It has a host of questions. It really goes in depth as to what we do and our processes. And you may find it useful to kind of review that. A lot of the questions and interviews that we will conduct during the visit will come from that. So you may find it most helpful. Of course, there's information on the DOE Green Book. We finally have the final version of the Green Book. The link is provided for you here in regards to that. The WIOA, the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2016, better known as the WIOA. The link is provided for you here. Please mute your phones. If you haven't, thank you. This concludes the Quality Assurance and Compliance webinar for the course Spring 2016 providers. If you have any questions, this is the time to ask. If not, we will open up the line for you to type your questions and we can answer them.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Any questions? Are there any questions?